present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Peter Jones, and Andre Melle in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And once again, we have four brilliant players of the game who are going to speak, if they can, for just 1 minute on some unlikely subject that I will give them without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject on the card which is in front of me. And once again, according to how well they do this and how often they may be challenged by their opponents, they will gain points, or their opponents will gain points. This is the way we play, and we're going to begin the show this week with Peter Jones. Peter, the ad dabs. Can you talk on the ad-dabs, Peter, for 60 seconds, starting now?
The ad-dabs, particularly the screaming variety, are associated, in my mind, with too much to drink. And I believe alcohol can cause this state of mind, which is not exactly as bad as the, forgotten the name.
Andre Melle, challenge you first.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, indeed, Andre. So you have a correct challenge. You gain a point for that. You take over the subject. You have 41 seconds for the ad dabs starting now.
As bad as the heebie-jeebies. I think the ad dabs originated in Ethiopia. It was a particularly nasty disease, a little like malaria, and the symptoms something like epileptic fit. The patient...
Kenneth Williams, the challenge.
Hesitation and deviation.
Which one do you want to...
Well, there was an error for hesitation.
Hesitation, yes.
And deviation. There's
yes, but it could be a fantasy idea that... Kenneth, I agree with the hesitation, definitely. You have a point for a correct challenge, and you take over the subject of the ad-dabs, and there are 25 seconds left, starting now.
This is, of course, one of these slang corruptions which has no place in proper conversation, that is to say, the talk that goes on between people who we would call... cultivated and mature. I would never use this kind of expression, but there are idiots about who say, oh, she had the screaming ab-dabs, dear. Let's get the doctor round, and gave her the sal volatile, which was lying on the floor, wrenching the place.
So, the whistle tells us, by the way, for those who don't know, that 60 seconds is up. Kenneth was speaking then when the whistle went, so he gained an extra point for doing so, and he has a lead over everybody else at the end of that round. And Clement Freud, it's your turn to begin. The subject is notwithstanding. 60 seconds, starting now.
Notwithstanding is a sort of useless word like hereunto, heretofore, not but what, which is written as if it were one when in fact it is two or three collections of letters making a what you might call
Peter Jones is challenged.
Hesitation.
Undoubtedly, yes. Oh. And you have a point, Peter, and you have 41 seconds for notwithstanding starting now.
As he says, it is a quite meaningless phrase that's been joined up.
Clement Freud is challenged. Why?
Deviation is not a phrase, it's a word.
Yes, I think that is.
Joined up into a word.
You can't.
That's what I said. I said joined up into a word.
Oh, yes, you might have been saying it, but you didn't actually.
Well, he interrupted before I said it.
All right.
He anticipated that I was going to say it.
Peter Jones, they're on your side. Notwithstanding is still with you. 36 seconds starting now.
So when my old aunt complained of these bunions having come from the chiropodist, and I said, you poor old soul, what have you been doing? She said it wasn't from sitting, it was notwithstanding either. I have been running up and down the stairs and in the garden where they have a lot of very steep steps which cause her a lot of inconvenience.
Kenneth Williams, the challenge.
Deviation. What? He says she got bugs from the chiropodist and then the
bunions
she ran
from the chiropodist, yes.
What?
I thought you'd take your bunions to the chiropodist.
He
not
said
go there
bugs. He never said
never
nothing
said
about
bunions. He said bunions.
Yes.
Well, your diction's worse than mine, mate.
Well, that's a terrible thing to say about anybody.
And to use a phrase we've heard you use before now, Kenneth, get your ears cleaned out. Notwithstanding. That is still the subject, and it is still with Peter Jones. He's gained another point. He has 12 seconds, starting now.
And my uncle was very sympathetic when she came in from...
Clement Freud's challenge, why?
Deviation,
why?
an uncle can't be a she.
He already has established his aunt had the bunions and his aunt was notwithstanding had bunions.
You know very well I don't have to talk about the same person I was talking about it before I
and
was
so
interrupted.
And so he said when his... It was quite clear to me, Clement, so he said his uncle when she came in, who referred
before
to the aunt.
Before you made a challenge which failed, I was talking about the aunt. And now I'm talking about her husband. Because
right.
they may be
agree.
Listening and he'll be upset if I neglect any reference to him. You
He'd
know.
Be more upset if you called him she.
He didn't call him she. He made it quite clear to me anyway. So, Peter, you have another point and you have 7 seconds, notwithstanding, starting now.
Lie down, he said, in the sitting room. It's notwithstanding that has caused this dreadful affray because there were a lot of...
Enjoy that last subject so much, he can hardly blow his whistle, he nearly swallowed it. But he did manage to make a little noise, and whoever's speaking, of course, when the whistle goes, gets the extra point. It was, on this occasion, Peter Jones, and the end of that round, he has a commanding lead of 3 over everybody else in the show. Anyway, Andre Miller, your turn to begin. It's a marvellous subject that Ian's thought of for you. Mud wrestling, starting now.
You might think that I would know extremely little about this subject, and you would be absolutely right. I suppose it means wrestling in the mud, something like the wall game, which I believe they play at Eton, that well-known public school. 2 men, stripped to the waist perhaps, get together and see which can get the other one down into the mud. Maybe.
Kenneth Williams got him first.
Hesitation.
I indeed agree. Kenneth, you have a point, you have mud wrestling, and you have 34 seconds starting now.
The idea of this game is to make your opponent look as ill at ease as possible, and of course the fact that you are in this disgusting substance does add enormously to one's potential in these kind of circumstances.
After all, it stands to reason. If you're in a load of mud, you're not going to look...
Peter Jones's challenge, why?
I can't hear.
I can't hear either, so what's your challenge? I'll probably give it to you.
A foul. I think it was a foul.
Well, you've got to give me one or the other. What was it?
Hesitation, covered up by the foul, an inaudible.
Well, if I couldn't hear him, it must have been hesitation, because he obviously never said anything, did he? We couldn't hear you, I'm afraid, Kenneth, so I must give the benefit of the doubt to Peter on this occasion and say he has 14 seconds for mud wrestling starting now.
When the talkies came in the 30s in America, the entrepreneurs there, in a desperate effort to attract audiences, put on this disgusting sport of mud wrestling. They sometimes employed women.
I wonder when we were going to get to women in mud wrestling, because I thought that was one of the chief attractions of the sport. Peter Jones was speaking then when the whistle went... and so he gained an extra point as he creased his lead at the end of that round. And there's a little joke going on the other side of the room which I can't make out. Kenneth Williams, your turn to begin. One of these lovely, literary, historical subjects for you, Dr. Johnson. Can you tell us something about Dr. Johnson in 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, it is recorded that he once said, "Any man abed before midnight is a scoundrel." I don't know that we'd all concur with that, but a charming anecdote is told when he took oars from the Temple Stairs to Greenwich. Boswell asked, "Do you believe in universal education? Would this boy row us any better if he had knowledge?" And Johnson leant forward and said, "Boatman, what would you give to know about the Argonauts?" The boy rested on his oars and said, "Why, I would give what I have."
Clement Freud challenged you.
Repetition of oars.
Yes, you had those oars, but,
Well, it's very beautiful because the boy said, "I will give what I have." And he never replied, the doctor, to that, but he did give him double fare. Boswell noticed that.
One for each
and
jaw.
And so he thought that was rather a beautiful gesture from a very beautiful man. It was a very charitable, kind, lovely man. No, don't bother. Don't
do
that awful
thing. No, we enjoy being informed, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners do, but Clement Freud had a correct challenge for repetition of oars, and there are 24 seconds left for Dr. Johnson with you, Clement, starting now.
When Stanley cut his way into the center of Africa and came into a clearing in the jungle, and mention those famous words, Dr. Livingston.
You challenged too soon, did you?
No, I didn't challenge to his deviation.
Why?
It has to do with Dr. Johnson.
We're all about Africa and Dr. Yes. Livingston, I presume. It's nothing to do with that.
Yes, he
Johnson.
Had been going sufficiently long time without introducing
of
Dr. Johnson.
It's ludicrous. I mean, it just will not hold water. It just will not hold up, you see.
Well, he was...
So, Kenneth, you have another point, and you have 14 seconds for Dr. Johnson, starting now.
Well, of course, another famous thing that's associated with is the first English dictionary.
Andre Mellon challenge, why?
Peter Jones can't hear what he's saying.
Had he started?
So what is the challenge, Andre?
Just palliness over here, you know. Like,
well, if you give a wrong challenge, all that happens, I'm afraid, is the person speaking.
Well, he might speak clearer, you see.
Well, I couldn't hear, but I'm getting rather used to it now. I'm trying to lip read as I watch.
Well, on this occasion, I definitely heard, and I think everybody heard, I know the listeners heard. So, Kenneth, you have another point, and you continue with Dr. Johnson, and 10 seconds left, starting now.
Mrs. Thrale once remonstrated with him. She is a good Methodist girl, Doctor. And he replied, the Church of England is good enough for me, and it certainly should...
Peter Jones challenged you.
Repetition of good. He said good.
Good Methodist girl. Yes, that's right. Yes, she... Got in very cleverly with half a second to go. Ian Mester tells me it's 1/5 of a second to go. And Dr. Johnson starting now.
Boswell.
At the end of that round, Peter Jones has increased his lead. Kenneth Williams is in a very strong second place. Clement Freud and Andre Merry are both trailing more than somewhat. Peter Jones, it's your turn to begin.
Right.
The subject, which sounds very bizarre to me, but perhaps you can talk about it if you can, kippers as pets. Will you talk on kippers as pets, Peter, for 60 seconds, starting now?
I don't know what kinky mind invents these subjects for me, but in the Isle of Man and Yarmouth and Lowestoft, they cure the herring. And these fish are then sent to the various centres, the wholesalers, where they are sold. And I'm hesitating occasionally because I'm hoping someone's going to interrupt. However... to expand on this subject and hesitate, I shall adopt a quite different style. Because, of course, pets of any kind are a matter of taste. Now, I prefer them when they're alive. But if they're dead, well, one can't really make a... It's... They just didn't want to take the subject from me. That's what it was. They were afraid of it.
Peter Jones was not speaking then when the whistle went, but gained an extra point for doing so. He had the subject to start with and kept going.
Well, that's a very nice way of putting it.
With the help of the deviation and the hesitation of all the others until the end for 60 seconds. He didn't say very much. But he got 2 points on that particular round, and he increased his lead at the end of that round. Obviously, the others didn't want to take the subject, and they resisted the temptation. And Clement Freud, here's one for you, and a very good answer that Ian's thought of. Bloaters as enemies. Clement Freud, will you go on bloaters as enemies for 60 seconds, starting now?
It's very much easier to have a bloater as an enemy than to have a kipper as a friend, because, as you probably know, the former is a herring which is put into brine and then smoked in its split state, whereas a bloater is a whole herring which is cured raw and doesn't have the bones...
Peter Jones has challenged. Why?
Hesitation.
Yes, indeed. He didn't have a challenge you for hesitation, you know, on your kippers.
Well, I know, but he seemed to be floundering, and I thought... I thought he might appreciate being interrupted. I would have appreciated being interrupted, really, yes. When I was stuck with kippers.
And after all, I quite agree. Just because you're in the lead, why should you give any quarter? The others don't do it when they're in the lead, do they, Peter? Only when they're losing. All right, you have another point, Peter, and you have 39 seconds for bloaters as enemies starting now.
He hesitated when he said raw because I think what he meant was the insides are left in for bloaters and they're cured complete.
Clement Freud's challenge, why?
Deviation, they're not. Only the rows are left in. The insides are taken out.
The insides are not left in at all?
No. Only the row. Not
all right, Clement, you have a point, and you have 31 seconds for bloaters as enemies, starting now.
Bloaters become very fierce enemies after a few days because of the pungency of their smell. A bloater ideally should be eaten in Great Yarmouth, which is where they come from, and after a number of days, let alone nights and weeks, the smell is so unpleasant.
Charmer, someone challenged Andre Melly, was it you?
Repetition of days.
Days and nights, yes. Mm. So, Andre, correct challenge to you, and you have the subject, 14 seconds, bloaters as enemies starting now.
They are particular enemies of mine because they are so extremely indigestible, and when I eat them, I'm not allowed to forget the fact for several days afterwards. They are something that you have to have a particularly strong stomach for.
Clement Freud has challenged.
Particularly, no, twice.
Yes, particularly is a long word, and you'd want to use it twice. And Clement, you got in very cleverly with 1 second to go. Bloaters as enemies starting now.
Bloaters as enemies.
Clement Freud was then speaking when the whistle went. He gained the extra point. He's creeping up on Kenneth Williams, which is a very devious thing to do. Kenneth's 1 point ahead, but they're both, in fact, they're all trailing more than somewhat behind Peter Jones, who's a commanding lead in this game. Andre Melly, your turn to begin. The subject, When I Was Seven. Can you tell us about that in 60 seconds, starting now?
I was evacuated to North Wales to relations who didn't particularly want to have me but preferred me to evacuees. We went to school, which was a boarding variety, and was one of the day girls, only being six of them, which, as anybody knows, is something very unpleasant. You're somehow out of the whole thing. Nobody wants to know you. I had an enemy called Eve Lovett, who had red hair and used to make me pinch food and take it to her at the said establishment the next morning, as she said she was always hungry and didn't have enough to eat. I was extremely frightened of this girl and have had an aversion for red freckly faces ever since. She made me hang upside down from a tree by my knees and would then hide my Wellington boots. So when my uncle came to collect us to take us home, I had no shoes. This is a kind of torture.
Andre said this is the kind of torture she did. Well, she had another kind of torture tonight. The three men let her go on. Anyway, we now know why Andre Melly is such a fine actress. Look what she's suffered. It's all come out in some of her brilliant dramatic performances, and she's moved forward into third place alongside Clement Freud at the end of that round. They're still 1 point behind Kenneth Williams, who's still no less than 7 points behind our leader, who's still Peter Jones. And Kenneth, your turn to begin. A subject dear to your heart, sympathy. Would you talk about sympathy for 60 seconds, starting now?
Yes, it of course refers to the root, which is pathos, and means suffering comes to us from the Greek. Now, ladies who pick those leaves, which are later made into tea, have become synonymous with it. How often have we heard this beverage mentioned in conjunction with sympathy? Come round for a cuppa and get a bit of sympathy. How delightful this is, and man is the time I thank you.
Clement Freud has. Clement has.
What for?
Hesitation.
Hesitation? Hesitation? Nothing, you're not on your Nelly, you great fool.
Hesitation. It's ludicrous.
Well, it's pretty ludicrous how slowly you can go without hesitating and still keep going.
To hesitate is visibly to pause, Dorothy.
Yes, and there's another.
If you are speaking in a measured fashion, can no more be called hesitating.
Of course it can't.
Fly to the moon.
But it cannot be called hesitation. But there must be a limit to which you can measure out your words and not.
No, there's none. This game doesn't say anything about limitations.
All right, the game
syllables.
Doesn't say anything, but I have to make decisions in this particular game. But on this occasion, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. But if you go any slower, I will give it against you. You have a point. You have 29 seconds on sympathy, Kenneth, starting now.
We should pour it out. One to another. And in...
Clement Freud has challenged you.
I think that was fractionally slower than before.
No. Actually, I thought it was fractionally faster.
I hadn't got my meter out on it.
Yeah. Well, my sort of inbuilt
I'd
meter.
Like him to have another point.
I was so pleased to be able to hear it distinctly that I didn't mind it being rather hesitant.
He's got to have another point. And 20 seconds to continue with sympathy starting now.
It is the inexpressible comfort of feeling safe with a person having to deny many thoughts and measure words, but pour it all out, chaff and grain together, knowing that a faithful hand will take and sift those thoughts, keep what is worth keeping, and with a breath of kindness, blow the rest away. Into
Peter Jones has challenged.
Repetition of spectrum.
For those in the audience who've missed the joke, because you may not have heard what Kenneth said, he didn't say spectrum, but Peter decided it was as good a word as any that he might have repeated to his challenge. Actually, if you'd had him for hesitation, I would have given it to you then. But he didn't repeat spectrum. I could just hear what he said. I gave you the benefit of the doubt last time, but not this time, Peter. Kenneth gets another point and has 4 seconds on sympathy, starting now.
The sympathy we all need for a specially discarded love, like an old glove thrown away.
So, sympathy gave Kenneth a lot of points, including one for speaking when the whistle went. He has moved forward with great speed and with a great number of points. And he's now 3 behind our leader, Peter Jones. And Peter, it's your turn to begin. The subject is riddles. Would you talk on riddles for 60 seconds, starting now?
I'm not going to talk in them, though that is sometimes done. But I often hear them at home. My children tell me riddles like, when they were very young, one was, why does a chicken cross the road? I don't know what the answer to that was. I think it was, so that it can get to the other side. And similarly, what is red and white and black all over? And the answer is a coloured newspaper. I'm not absolutely certain of that, but I think I'm right in saying so.
André Melly has challenged.
A repetition of not and I think and...
Yes,
and,
I think you were right in more than once there, yes. Mm. André, I agree with the challenge. It was very repetitious, very boring too. And André has another point at this moment for a correct challenge, and she has riddles and 28 seconds starting now.
One of the places you find these boring little sayings are in those crackers which we have at Christmas time. You either pull them and make a nasty bang and then open out a little bit of paper which says something like Peter Jones has just told us.
Kenneth Williams has challenged. Why?
It doesn't say something like Peter Jones has just
told us. I quite agree. I've never opened a cracker which said Peter Jones has just told us.
The chicken crossed the road.
Yes, why did the chicken cross
the road? Yeah, but the way you put it this time made it sound as if Peter Jones was part of the riddle. Kenneth, you have a point for a correct challenge and 12 seconds on riddles starting now.
Why is getting up in the morning like a pig's tail twirly? Is a typical example, of course, because the inference there is too early has been so entwined to make it sound like a pig's tail.
I've just been told that I'm afraid we have no more time to play Just a Minute this week. So now let me give you the final score at the end of that round. A very interesting result, because once, and I can't remember when it's happened before, Clement Freud was in fourth place. We know that when he puts his mind to it, he usually can beat the others, but he was trying, but he was beaten well by André, who was in third place, very well by Kenneth, who was only just in second place. He came with a rush at the end, but his rush was not enough. Shut up. Wait for it. His rush was not enough to overtake this week's winner, Peter Jones. Well, a well-deserved win, and obviously, from my audience reaction, a very popular win. I'm sorry that we have no more time to play Just a Minute, because we enjoy playing the game. From all of us here, goodbye. Thank you.
chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Simon Brett.